Hello and welcome to this next episode of the Lost Baggage Podcast. I am your host, Brian Whitmer, joined today by my good friend, Robbo, James Neal Robertson out of Denmark. Robbo, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm excited to have you on here. I'm excited to talk about Danish lacrosse. I'm excited to talk about, my little hobbit goalie friend, your story. I know that you are Australian living in Denmark, but I've never really understood how. So I guess we can kind of introduce you to the listeners, all five of them. Why don't you tell people about your background in lacrosse, growing up in Australia, when you were introduced to the game, and, how did you get to Denmark?
That's kind of two different, totally different stories. I mean, how I got to Denmark and lacrosse are totally separate things. I guess I grew up across the road from a lacrosse club in Australia. My older brother, some of his friends from school, they played, so he ended up joining in, play lacrosse at this club, and he would have been about 8 or 9 when he started. So I was like 1 or 2 when the first lacrosse stick came into our house, and I just wanted to play because I kind of wanted to do everything my older brother wanted to do. So I started playing for a club called Surrey Park in Melbourne. Played there for 14 years till I was like, I started playing properly when I was 8 or 9. And played there until I was 23, 24 and moved to Denmark. I don't know. I guess it's kind of like you, a bit of a family thing. My dad was also involved with the club and on the board. My older brother, he just played forever.
So your brother was first, or had your dad played before? Or?
No, my dad he'd never played, but he, as soon as my brother got involved with it, my dad got fully involved. Was involved as administrator for the club and all those things.
Gotcha. So you had a brother join, and then father supporting his son's athletic. Just sporting culture, and then obviously if your dad's involved and your brother's playing for a handful of years, by the time you can walk and talk, you got a stick in your hands. So were you the little brother they stuck in the backyard in the goal, or how did you get in the goal?
That's exactly what happened. I remember my brother and his friends, because we lived really close to the club, so a lot of the times before training, some of his friends would come over to our house, or after games on Saturdays and whatever, people would come over and throw the lacrosse ball around our backyard, and they all played midfield and attack and whatever, and they wanted to shoot goals. So we had a trampoline that they turned on the side, on its side, one of those old rectangular ones that you could fall through the springs of and whatever, get really injured on. They'd turn that on its side and make a goal out of it, and then they'd put, just strap me up in all their gear, so I'd be wearing, shoulder pads on my legs and elbow pads on my your knees and whatever, and put me in the goal and just rip shots on me in the backyard.
So you more or less have a background in being a box goalie then?
Yeah, I'm any sport I play, I always gravitate towards the defensive side of it, even if it's like basketball, which I'm terrible at. I'm more interested in playing defense than shooting.
Gotcha. So I thought you were a Western Australia guy.
No, I'm from Melbourne.
Okay, gotcha.
The lacrosse community is really small in Australia, and I played against a bunch of those guys with national championships and their junior Aussie teams and whatever. So you end up meeting a lot of them along the way.
Yeah, of course. I played in Adelaide for a year, and I do feel like I never went to any of those national championships or anything, but I still feel like I met so many guys from other parts of Australia, and I felt like I knew everybody, and it really didn't take that. I was there a year. It didn't take that long to get to know, quite a few people within, not just I met a couple people with the governing body and whatever, but I was more interested in meeting just the normal players, guys who, just work, a full eight-hour job and then just play, once or twice a week during the week, and then, play games on Saturdays.
The beautiful thing about the club lacrosse system is just you have your a plumber, he's working all day and then he goes, plays lacrosse on the weekend. You have college in America, and it's students, all these guys getting the degrees, and they train 5 days a week and have their games and whatever. But in Australia, you got your lawyer is on the same team as the plumber, is on the same team as the unemployed guy. It's just a real melting pot of different people.
Yeah, I think that was one of my... I love that as well. And I think that the NCAA is definitely the pinnacle of the sport. The best the pinnacle of the sport. I wouldn't say it's the pinnacle of the game. You know, like there are more. I make that differentiation between game and sport. You know, the game is like this cultural and like feel good, like not spiritual, but like it's this nice thing that we all have in our life. And the sport is like, you know, the sport, you know, like it's the performance at its highest peak is at the NCAA, bar none. So I think that the club system is absolutely fantastic for post-collegiate play. You know, like I loved playing 4 years of NCAA lacrosse, but I want to spend the rest of my, you know, working, playing days, my functional playing days in a club system. I don't want to practice 5 days a week. No way.
But it's also like one of the guys we had at our club who won the Isaacson Trophy, which is awarded for the best player in Australia. He was a builder. You know, we're talking about a guy who's, he's gone to trade school, so he wouldn't have, if he played, he wouldn't have played college lacrosse if he had been in America at all. This guy's a builder, and he was the best player in Australia. I mean, he was an incredible player. So you have a whole bunch of guys who have never gone through any kind of university system, and they're still great players.
Yeah, we in the States, we kind of have that, like, I know plumbers, and I know guys working, you know, construction, blue-collar jobs, who still go to play in college. Like they'll take out student loans and go to college, play 4 years of lacrosse and get a degree in like communications or something stupid, and then they'll go to work, you know, blue collar jobs, because they know that they have to go to college to play NCAA lacrosse. And you know, like how many great players go play in the go to the military or have to go straight to work because they don't have the luxury of being able to afford like an NCAA experience. Like, you know, it while the NCAA is the best, it is not inclusive of everyone.
It's very elitist thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me to, my parents, you know, I've said this, I think, in every single one of these episodes. My parents told me I could go to any school in the world as long as it started with SUNY, you know, which were like the state schools, right? Yeah. And I'm glad they did, because I paid like, you know, maybe a quarter of what my friends paid to go to like private schools. And honestly, you know, now that I'm almost 8 years out of school, like I'm so glad, like it did not matter like where you went to school. Like, I'm so glad I never owed like $200,000 in debt. I owed 30, and I still almost puked when I heard that number. But yeah, like it's the club system in Australia. It's for it's literally for everyone, and I think that's pretty cool.
I mean, that's what we try to. I try to emulate the same thing with our club here in Copenhagen, that we just want to have as many different people and everyone as welcome as much as possible.
So it's
like on a much scaled down version.
Yeah, the first player I want you to talk about is your 60-plus-year-old fireman,
Torbjörn.
Yes, he's my spirit animal. I want to be like him.
So, Torbjörn started playing lacrosse when he was 42, I think. I think he might be 55 now. He's still working.
He's 55.
He's 55.
That's a hard 55, man. Like, those are long miles on 55. He
ran a marathon last year.
No way. Yeah. He's awesome. I love him.
We have a group for our national team tryouts, and he's every week he does like an update of his weekly training, and he's filmed everything. It's like just videos, endless videos of him doing burpees and push-ups and squats and running and wall bowling and all this stuff that he's doing. He does more than anyone else in the team. Like, he is just, I don't know, if I could be in that shape and have that dedication when I'm 55, I would take it.
I mean, for anyone who's, you know, kind of listening and doesn't know who this fella is, like he'll be the only Danish guy to show up to a box tournament. Like, I forget where I saw him, but he's just messing, you know, he'll get on teams. Like, he'll take the initiative to show up. And this guy started playing when most people are having like their third kid or like thinking about hopefully retiring in 10 years. This guy's like started playing.
Yeah, he has grandchildren that
he has grandchildren.
Looked lacrosse sticks for and everything.
I think we need to get this guy over to Placid.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, he played at Frank Mens. Was it Frank Mensch?
Yeah, that's where I saw him with the French guys. He showed up with like, and he, you know, and not throwing darts at the French, but he was not the worst player on the team. Like, he was holding his own.
He was a part of our 2016 field national team.
Yeah, so the 2016 national team. So, well, I guess that's kind of a good segue to talk about Denmark. Because how long have you been in Copenhagen?
So I moved here in 2012.
Okay, so Denmark was around as a national team, a functioning lacrosse entity for a while, and then they weren't, and now they're back. Can you tell me the history? Like, what's going on in Denmark?
Denmark had a national team in 2004 for the European Championships, 2006 for the Worlds, and then like every 2 years. After the 2010 World Championships, a lot of the guys, they'd had enough of playing lacrosse and whatever, so they were, you know, quit to start families and everything, but they hadn't really recruited many younger guys, so the league started falling apart a bit there. I moved here in 2012 and they didn't enter a team. I wouldn't have qualified anyway at that stage. They didn't enter a team for that year's European Championships, which were in Amsterdam. So there was no team that year. And then 2014, we talked about trying to get a national team together for Denver. We were going to hold tryouts, and we had a list of about 15 dudes. And we're like, okay, this is probably not going to fly. We had no coach or anything. And that was after that, I was like, okay, we need to get a team together for 2016, or this is just not going to happen. Because you could see the guys that we had were all getting towards their late 20s, starting to get a bit like, okay, this kind of has to happen now, or they're just going to end up having kids and quitting, then lacrosse will be fully dead. Because we only had, maybe 15 active players in the entire country. We managed to scrape together 19, I think we had 19 guys in 2016 at the European Championships, with a 50-year-old and a couple other guys, 40-plus. And then we had a 16-year-old now team, and it was
I remember that. They did or did not let him play?
Oh, sorry. We had one guy. We had the youngest guy in the tournament, Lou. He played, and we had another guy who they didn't let play because he didn't make the age cutoff by 3 or 4 months or something.
That's what it was. Okay. I remember you had the two really young. So Lou is actually he was playing in Scotland.
Yeah, he's still in Scotland.
Is he still in Scotland?
He's studying at a university in Edinburgh now.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. I meant to hook up with him, but you know he was busy or whatever. I tried to get him out in the box, you know, because we were working on the box, you know, national team, and I wanted to get him in the box. I was like, you know, this will help Denmark. And honestly, I think he left-handed.
No, he's right-handed. He has good skills.
Okay. Well, I selfishly wanted another lefty at practice, and I thought he was left-handed, but anyway, he had that experience when he was 16, and that was my introduction. 2016 was a fun week. That was my introduction to the European lacrosse lifestyle. That was my first time. Actually, just the episode before this, I recorded with Sam Miller. I talked about getting hurt in the summer, playing for Vermont for the Voyagers, and like, so my shoulder was not in its socket, and they dropped me from the playoff roster because I wasn't going to be able to play. And Connor Wilson's like, hey, you know, like that same week, he's like, hey, you know, do you want to go to Budapest or Godolo to cover with Lax All-Stars the European Championships? I was like, yeah, I'm in. I think it was a two text message long conversation. I'm in. And so that, can you describe, to me, what was it like in Godolo?
I don't know. The accommodation was crazy. I mean, we had 24 national teams all staying at the same place. It was this university with had a couple of fields right on the university. Then there were a couple of fields nearby. It was just lacrosse 24/9. For a couple of weeks, I think the thing almost went for 2 weeks.
Like, it was a
We had warm-up games and all that stuff beforehand. But, like, we played a game a day for 8 or 9 days. But everywhere you went, there was lacrosse. Like, you'd eat in this giant mess hall, and there were, you know, at least a dozen teams down there every morning at breakfast, you know, at that time. It was just crazy.
Yeah,
we didn't party that much because we didn't have many guys, so we couldn't really afford to, you know, drink many beers, those things. But some of the teams, they were out drinking beer and having a good time the whole week.
Yeah, so that's actually was one of my favorite aspects was, you know, not the partying, but I wasn't playing. So I was, you know, covering it. And so I remember it was me and Connor, Scott was down there, you know, Frenchie and your coaching staff, Nick was down there. Like, you know, it wasn't like intentional, but like you'd have a beer and like the team that had the day off the next day would be at that bar that was right at the base of the dorms. You know, it was like underneath where like 10 teams were sleeping, right? Like, so, you know, the basement was full of two teams. So two teams had a bye the next day. So there was, you know, okay, I get to meet Scotland and Sweden tonight. And then the next night I would meet Germany and Switzerland. You know, so I was meeting guys from every single team, you know, over, you know, a handful of beers. And that was a pretty – and the French team was down there every single night. They were down there. Actually, one of my favorite stories, I have a couple fun stories from Godolo, but my favorite story was that Frenchie was sitting down there and we were, you know, having a couple, it was one of the later evenings that we, you know, were down there, and that poor girl would serve us beers until we quit. And that never happened. And so the Slovenian team came over and, you know, we were talking lacrosse with the Ireland coaches. I remember it was with the Ireland coaches and Rich Carter was down there and we were talking about, you know, what this and this and this, and the Slovenians were like looking over everyone's shoulders, like, and they're like, hey guys, how's it going? And they're like, hey, is that like something about defense? And we're like, yeah, you know, and like, hey, would you teach us defense? And Frenchie marched the Slovenians out in the parking lot around 2:30 or 3 in the morning and like successfully navigated how to go through like a one and two slide, like a normal like crease slide, like, you know, basic defense. But, you know, I was just standing on the side, you know, there's like rabid cats like running around and like, you know, whatever, like, oh, actually that was you guys who adopted the cats. But yeah, like that was my favorite. Like he took the time at 2:30 in the morning to teach the Slovenian national team defense, you know, while we were all, you know, three quarters of the way pickled. That was my favorite story.
They actually came by with beers for us a couple of days later for when we were finished, to say thanks.
That's cool. Actually, the last trip I was on, the last clinic I ran like in Europe before, you know, everything kind of got shut down this year was in Slovenia, and they're good guys. Actually, my father might, I might go down there and, you know, be a surrogate coach, and then my father might step in for the, you know, the European Championships if they happen. So like I'll coach them. You know, my father and I have similar lacrosse backgrounds, and therefore it would be pretty simple for me to teach one thing and for him to step in and kind of just pick up where I left off. That might be how things happen, depending on how the world shapes up this year. But tell us more about the cats.
Yeah, we our coach and his girlfriend ended up adopting a homeless cat in Godolo, Hungary. I'm not sure if they ended up taking it back to England. I can't remember what happened, but I think they nicknamed it Stinky and they took it to a vet and like it got all its shots and had a collar and everything.
I know that did get fleas or some sort of insect all throughout their room.
Yeah, parasites and stuff.
Yeah, like the I remember like some French guy like picked it up and like shook it. He's like, "Yep, this cat has worms." I'm like, "How do you don't know that?" Like I've been drinking, but you don't know that. Like, and so sure enough, they took it to the vet and like, "Yeah, this cat's gonna die in like 6 days." Like, so they you know dewormed it and like saved its life and everything. But that was, you know, there was just so many odd and I'm sure if I kept talking about Godolo, like so many more odd stories would shake out of that conversation. Like that was just a fun 9 days. And I remember you guys in your first or second game back, it might have at some point during the week, you played Norway and they thumped you.
Oh, it was the very first game.
The very first game. You're all out there. It was on the off-site facility, so that we had to take a bus to. And you guys got absolutely pounded. But the part that stuck with me was that you had a trophy to give to them out of friendship. Like, hey, neighboring, you know, tell me more.
So Denmark was actually one of the main factors for starting lacrosse in Norway. Like, we had a bunch of guys who went up there with gear and everything to help them start lacrosse in Norway. They just contacted us a long time ago. I wasn't even in Denmark at that stage. They'd contacted the guys from Copenhagen and said, hey, you know, we want to try and start lacrosse in Norway. Can you come and help? So some of the guys packed, pretty sure they took their cars on the ferry full of gear and went up to Norway and put on some clinics and helped start lacrosse in Norway. Norwegian lacrosse is like 15 times bigger than Danish lacrosse now. So that's a bit of an interesting part of that story that we helped them start. And now they're way bigger than we are. But we always, you know, have that in mind. So we finally got to play them. They had their first championships was in 2012, and they also went to 2014, where we weren't there. So this was actually, I think it was the first time Denmark was actually playing at a tournament in official capacity and had the opportunity to play Norway. So as soon as we saw that they were on our schedule, we all started organizing a commemorative trophy. It's a giant horn. It's like one of the biggest bull's horns you'll ever see. It was all polished up real nice. Called it the Kattegat Cup. I think there's room for, I don't know, maybe 3 liters of beer in it or something. The thing was huge. We presented that to them after they beat us 24-2 or something in our first game back. They absolutely flogged us.
Yeah, that was because I remember that, you know, Connor was like, hey, we're going to watch Denmark and Norway play. I'm like, oh, is that going to be a good game? He goes, I don't think so. However, it is, you know, Denmark's return is the first, you know, he kind of, you know, explained the significance of. And, you know, I say game again because, like, it is something that's a little bit bigger than just the scoreboard. You know, obviously, first of all, I hated the 2016 setup. You know, it's four pools of six. I mean, you had absolute powerhouse. Like, you had England and, you know, Israel. You had all these, you know, top elite teams mixed in with teams that weren't. At that caliber. You know, I mean, in the sense of fairness, sure, I guess everybody has an equal shot, but four groups of six, you're playing five pool play games before you even get where you're supposed to be going. And, you know, I don't think you guys had a particularly fun time during pool play. You know, it took you 5-6 days to get to where you belong, you know?
I mean, we ended up in a pool with Scotland, Ireland, Norway, Wales, and Austria. But, I mean, Ireland didn't. They went through into the middle bracket, and they're both really good teams. I mean, it was just totally crazy.
Yeah, I helped advocate for a better system for the European Championships that were supposed to happen last year. Like a pool. I'm heavily influenced by the Al Ahly Rescue Memorial.
Yeah,
pools of three. You know, worst case scenario, right? If you guys don't know which way to hold the stick, you're only going to get pumped twice before you figure out where you're supposed to go. You know, and I think that's a better way forward just in general. You know, I think these pools of four, sure, whatever. It takes 4 days to get out of there out of a 9-day tournament. You have 5 days of playoffs. That's that works. But like in a pools of three, you're done in 3 days. You know, you still got almost a week of good lacrosse ahead of you, you know, like of lacrosse that you belong in. You know, I think that's personal opinion.
I feel like teams get a lot more out of just playing competitive games, even if they lose by 2 or 3 goals.
Exactly. You
know, to actually run some offense or have some possession of the ball is way better for a lot of these developing countries rather than getting blown out like 30-0. I don't get anything out of that.
No, and I've said that you can lose and become more experienced to a point. Well, I've lost by 6-7 goals, and I'm like, man, that was a lot of fun. You know, I don't think I've ever lost by, you know, 15 and said like, oh, we got a lot out of that. Yeah. You know, there's a point where like, this is stupid. So my thought being pools of three whenever possible or pools of four whenever possible are significantly better than pools of six. You know, it's 6 days. That's not easy.
Yeah. But let's move on to a better system next time.
Yeah, so you guys have been active, I mean, since then. I mean, I know that you got a family life, and you know, Nick has been telling me like, "Oh, we got to get Robbo in the goal. We got to get these guys out, you know, to keep playing." Like, so what have you guys been up to? And I've seen you at Silesia Cup, up in Norway. We've seen you. Where else have I seen you guys?
The British National Championships.
Right, yeah.
We've been to Norway a couple, like we go out once a year out to Norway and play that. We've also been out to Poland with like travel teams. We usually try and get a squad of Danish guys together to go to these different things. But there hasn't been much happening recently. It's been a bit of a low year.
I remember it was me and Ryan Wallace were jumping on playing with you guys in Oslo, and I remember that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed playing because, you know, it was pretty much the Danish national team and friends.
Yeah.
Where does the supporting cast. Where does the fighting pastry come in?
That was a social media thing. Like our coach Nick, he really wanted us to be the fighting Danes. And then there was a guy on Instagram put a post up, and it was he wrote hashtag go pastries under it. And then I kind of had a bit of a sitting there thinking about social media one night because I had all the posts on Instagram and Twitter and whatever. I was like, okay, well, can we combine these two things? Because pastries was pretty funny. We like to make fun of ourselves. We're not the most serious people. Like, how do we combine this fighting Danes with go pastries thing? So it kind of became the fighting pastries. And it kind of just was our team in a nutshell. I mean, we had a bunch of guys who might, you know, some guys a little bit overweight, so the whole pastries thing was kind of maybe appropriate. Like, they work really hard, so the fighting bit was also really appropriate. It kind of just captured the whole spirit of our team.
I'm definitely thinking of, you know, through your roster, and there's definitely some barrels, some healthy digestion. You know, there's definitely some bigger boys.
Lots of meat and potatoes.
Lots of meat. But yeah, I guess that's a much better way of saying it than how I just said it. But you touched on the social media thing. You guys, you specifically, you drive that train in other teams. And how is that? Who have you partnered with? How has that benefited you? Like, I know that social media is something you care more about than I do. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so when we were restarting the national team for the 2006 championships, our coach, he was like, he works in marketing and like distribution with alcohol or something. So he was really into social media and how you can use it as a tool. I didn't really have any experience with it. I mean, I had Facebook and whatever. I didn't even have an Instagram at that point. But I kind of just started posting stuff. So every training camp would have, we'd try and take just silly photos of the guys doing whatever, like team photos, photos of this, photos of that. Always had a camera with us. And we tried to, you know, you try and take enough at a camp that would last you until the next camp. So you had to, like, try and post one thing every single day. And then we started doing that. And people get interested in it because it's a national team. So they automatically get some followers who are interested in international lacrosse, and they'll start following it. And then they kind of get into it. Like, the more we post silly stuff all the time, like, absolutely rag on all our team. I rag on all the teammates on like a silly photo of them and write like player bios that are totally made up and just ridiculous. And people get really into it. And if you're consistent with it, like, you know, you can use similar hashtags all the time for different players, and people start getting into that as well. So we kind of have like a cult following. We have a couple of thousand followers.
But I would say
the people who follow us are really into it, and like they comment back and they engage with what we post.
I'm a cult follower. My personal favorite is the Frenchie with no shirt on picture.
Yeah.
And if I can give a little background about that photo, we in Gadolo in 2016, we had just a really cool cast of people coaching and people organizing, and you know, Connor and I and Bruce, we were there like just taking pictures and writing stories and stuff. And there was all these people who were, you know, pretty good lacrosse players who weren't playing. And so we had, we decided, hey, you know, Friday at, you know, after the last game, we're having a fun game. We're having a game, you know, just show up and we'll play. And, you know, the coaches from Ireland show up, you know, a couple assistant coaches show up, you know, Connor and I suit up, Brian Silcott with Scotland came out, like, you know, all these, you know, all these different, we got a couple of the table staff people, like we had a couple Hungarian, like table staff people who were just like interning there. And we just had like every, and Frenchie and Brad came out obviously. And we had all of these guys out to play, and it was sweltering hot in Hungary in the summer. And, you know, it was like the sticky hot, like it was just, it was not fun. So Frenchie shows up with a helmet and gloves and a stick and no shirt, and he's ready to play. And, you know, of course, Marek Storr, you know, the best photographer in Europe, you know, Shutterlax, takes this now famous photo of Frenchie, like ready to play defense, you know, this big hair, like bear of a man, you know, like ready to play defense. And it's now, I would say, your most infamous photo.
I mean, it was our most liked post for years. I mean, there's this picture of Frenchie, and like I dress it up. Like when it's Christmas, I'll put a Santa hat on him on the photo.
Yeah.
Put it up for Christmas, and it's like the 4th of July, and I'll put all these eagles around it, like just these really tacky emoji eagles from Messenger. Put them on it, put it out there on Happy 4th of July or St. Patrick's Day. There's like four leaf clovers and whatever. And it's just constantly getting posted out. I'll probably post it 6 times a year or something.
And he has not been your coach since 2016.
No, which... yeah, he coached us again in 2018.
Oh, he was there.
The last couple of years.
Gotcha. I mean, I just kind of blurred on like which day is what, you know, which tournament's which. But the point being, that photo was taken 4 years ago, and it is still going strong.
Oh yeah, people love it.
My second favorite is from 2018 when. Was it Lou? Who kicked the other player's stick?
Yeah, Connor. Connor Murphy. So he's one of our defenders. We were down. Like it was like the last minute of this game against Slovakia, and we'd been up and we were losing, and we started getting a bit frustrated because they were possessing the ball really well and there's no shot clock. And they're like, the guys are starting to get a bit frustrated. And their best player had the ball and he's just standing there cradling it up around near the restraining line. And Connor just got so annoyed. Because he couldn't get the ball off him. So he just ended up kicked the stick out of this guy's hand.
And
the stick just goes flying up in the air and the ball comes out of it. And the referee just looks at him and had no idea what to call. So he called it a 30-second hold.
Oh, they called a 30-second hold
on it. He called it a hold.
That is brilliant.
Kicked the stick like 20 meters up in the air.
I mean, because, you know, I don't even... I guess... Because kicking through the kick the stick, but you mostly only see that call on a face-off, right?
Yeah, it's usually a face-off when someone puts their foot in the middle of the face-off. I've never really seen anyone else kicking,
getting. And it's usually a loose ball. I mean, if you play that out, right? If it's a loose ball and I kick through your stick, that's just a turnover. It's a technical turnover. However, if you have possession and I kick the cross, which I can't imagine has ever happened. That in theory would be a technical 30-second. I don't know how the rule is. Kicking is definitely not a penalty.
Yeah, just the fact that they called it a hold and not a 30-second technical was just like all the other referee people who were standing around were just like, what is happening here?
And magically, Marek Storr with Shutterlax was right there to take a perfect photo once again.
Yeah, I don't know how he just is always around when to capture the perfect moments. We had it on film as well. Someone was filming it on like an iPhone on the side, and there's also a really nice still photo. It's a beautiful high kick. Like his boot is, his cleat is right up next to this guy's helmet in the photo.
I can't kick that high. I can't kick that high.
My hamstrings just tear thinking about it.
Yeah, I actually have thought about that. I'm like, how did he do that? Because I hope that people will, you know, go to your Instagram and look up this photo. It can't be more than like 6 photos back because you post it frequently. But like this kid should definitely go out for, you know, some sort of like football team. Like, you know, he could kick extra points like easily.
Yeah, Kung Fu Connor with the high.
Yeah, Kung Fu Connor. Yeah. Oh, I think you guys did like Photoshop it up so that you were he was like kicking some guy or, you know, some Kung Fu scene or something like that.
Yeah, we've been posting photos online from the Worlds, and one of our previous national team players sitting back in Denmark, he didn't tell me, he just got the picture like real low quality. You just saved it off Facebook or whatever. And then done really dodgy Photoshop versions of it where he's like in Street Fighter. And then he's,
yeah, that's the one. He's
pole dancing, and then he's in there doing hurdles and like all these different photoshops of Connor kicking people and doing different stuff. It's just totally crazy, and that got heaps of likes as well on the internet.
Oh, absolutely. And if you think we're just kind of going on about, if you're listening at home and kind of think we're just going on about this, like, this is really entertaining, and I would heavily recommend you go to. Is it Dansk Lacrosse? Like, how, what's the, what is the?
Oh, it's at Danish Lacrosse.
At Danish Lacrosse, because yeah,
there's no gaps or anything. It's just at Danish Lacrosse on everything.
Because there's Dansk Lacrosse, which is how like a Danish person would say it. There's Denmark Lacrosse. It's just, you know, so every once in a while I have a hard time finding you guys. But your unofficial mask, or I guess maybe your official mascot. Who's Gorm?
Gorm is the Viking. That's our national team logo.
Okay, so Gorm is the fighting pastry.
Well, yeah, there's two different things. So it's like Gorm is the Viking, which we helmet decals and stuff, and Gorm was our first logo before we became the fighting pastries. But now we have the fighting pastries, and that's kind of our like unofficial thing. That's okay. Kind of like, you know, UMass, they're the Minutemen, but they're also the Garba Gorillas or whatever.
Yes. Okay.
So it's kind of like that. Like our official mascot is this logo, as this Viking logo, called Gorm the Viking. Gorm was the first king of Denmark.
Gotcha. So you understand my confusion, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It is confusing. But then we have this fighting pastry that's also been drawn up by a guy called Jim Fenzel. He does all those really cool bucket helmet images. He did the fighting pastry for us. Because he just follows as well, and he really likes the thing, so he thought it could be cool to actually draw a fighting pastry, which he did.
I remember there was like a contest, like which of these is the fighting pastry? And there's like 12 beautiful like artist like picture like you know hand drawings of like these different interpretations of what a fighting pastry would be, and one of them was just a stick figure. You know, stick figure arms and legs like drawn around like a Danish, like a pastry. And that was the winner, right?
That's the winner. We're actually, for the European Championships, we're actually going to have it on our uniforms.
That's amazing.
In like a miniature scale on the back of the uniform.
That's perfect.
Because like people ask us all the time, like, hey, can we get a t-shirt with a fighting pastry on it? We actually don't really have them. We've never written it on. We've never written fighting pastry on any clothing. We've never printed T-shirts with these things. It's been very, very on the down low, but we're finally embracing it. Hopefully, that'll be a big trade item that the guys on the team will be able to hang on to them.
I'm gonna give you this one for free. All right. I want it in maroon text on a gray T-shirt. With a gray stick figure fighting pastry. You know, I'm talking about like a, you know, quarantine type t-shirt, right? Like a gray t-shirt that, you know, if you spill mustard on, you're not going to notice. I'm thinking like a gray t-shirt, maroon writing, fighting pastries, logo in the middle, lacrosse under. That one, I'm going to give you that one. That's a bestseller right there.
So, we've started to have a look at a few different versions. I don't really. We haven't done much merchandise recently either. We haven't made any tournaments for
years now. Well, I'll tell you what, I will buy one if you can count on one solid sale of a, you know, $20 t-shirt, $15 t-shirt, whatever it is, from me. I will buy that t-shirt. That's what I want.
We have Gorm the Viking t-shirts. They're online. We have a web shop in the US. So if anyone really wants a Viking t-shirt, they can reach out on.
How do those listeners get to that?
They just write to me on at Danish Lacrosse, and I'll send links to whatever.
Gotcha.
Rather than doing a plug on here.
Nah, yeah. I mean, this is what it is. You know, you can plug whatever you want. Did you write a book? Do you have your own podcast? Like, plug it. I don't care. Go for it.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I was on Kyle Devitt's podcast. Like, so like, where can people find you? Like, what work are you plugging? I'm like, I have an email. Like, email me. Like, I'm not trying to share too much at the moment. There's not a whole lot to be writing about at the moment. But you guys have developed quite a bit at home. You guys are focusing on the youth, which I love to hear. Tell me more.
Well, yeah. So I play for Copenhagen Lacrosse Club here in lovely sunny Copenhagen. We're called the Good Boys now. Copenhagen Good Boys, and we started an under 16 team. So after the European Championships in 2016, everyone got back and like, okay, how do we? We got absolutely flogged and lost so many games. We won one game and lost seven or something. We're like, okay, how do we get better? What do we have to do here? And it was obviously starting some kind of youth lacrosse. So we tried to start an under 16 team, and we got about six or seven guys. And then as we were doing that, they started having, you know, younger cousins and younger brothers and other kids they knew from here and there. So we actually managed to start an under 12 team. So we have now, like, those under 16s are now seniors. So now we have a senior team and an under 12 team in our club. We have, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 under 12 kids. We still have a couple of under 16s, but they kind of train with the seniors. But we managed to hang on to all our under 16s. So like a good night in Copenhagen, we'll get, 30 people out of training, like all included, under 12s through senior men. Like the women train on a different night, so when they train, they might get a dozen people out maybe.
But that 30 people is a good night, you know, like that's a good full club. Who do your under 12s, who do your under 16s, who do they play?
Yeah, so the nearest club to us is actually in Sweden. It's over the big bridge you just pay to go over the drive over the bridge. It's about a 40-45 minute drive from Copenhagen to a place called Lund. They're the Limping Ducks or something, their club is called. They have a Canadian guy there who started a junior club as well with a bunch of ice hockey kids. So our kids play kind of regularly against these ice hockey kids. We had been doing it quite a few times a year. So we'd train regularly in Copenhagen. We started playing a lot of small-sided games so our kids could also get some kind of gameplay rather than just doing line drills. And then organize these regular scrimmages with Lund. And actually, they're getting really good as well, these kids in Sweden.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. I was curious, like, because, you know, I was down in Slovenia, and they've got like, you know, three youth kids and they love it. But I'm like, who do these kids play with and who do they play against? And like, why are they still showing up? Because I know if I was just showing up to practice and, you know, there's no one to play with, there's no one to play against, I don't think I'd last very long. I'm glad you guys are doing that. You guys are cordially invited to bring any, and I guess anyone listening, bring a team to Prague and you'll get as many games at whatever age group, at whatever gender, indoor or outdoor. Just come to Prague and play. When possible, when safe and available. But I was supposed to come up to Copenhagen before all this stuff started, and that flight, I mean, you guys can definitely afford it, right? Like there's like a $20 flight. It's nothing.
Yeah, you were about to come out here for Ian's birthday.
That's what it was.
Unless you just come and sleep on the couch at my house and we'll have a weekend out, but those plans got changed.
Those plans have changed, yes. I successfully received a financial refund from Ryanair.
You might be one of the very few.
I don't know. I don't even know how I did it. I was just like every day. I was like, give me my $40 back. Like, dude, that's a round trip ticket for $40. And I was, but you know, the times I was like, I would rather have groceries this week than a flight voucher that I'm, you know, not going to be able to use for the foreseeable future. Like, give me my money. And you know, I honestly brandish that refund like a trophy. Like for those North American listeners, Ryanair does not give money back.
They're stingy, frugal. They're very frugal with their money.
Yeah, if you ask for a refund, they'll probably charge you $20 to answer an email. Like they're that airline, you know, they're the Spirit or, you know, Frontier airline that charges just extra money for, you know, hey, you looked at us funny. Oh, you want a seatbelt? $40. I got that. But you know, those flights are still cheap. You know, when safe and possible, I'll be back up.
Back to Copenhagen anyway. You're gonna come and see.
Yeah, gotta happen.
Copenhagen Good Boys thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down. I don't have any club allegiances in Denmark. Are there any other clubs in Denmark? Or
one other. We have another one, and it's a 3-hour drive to Aarhus, lacrosse. They still train. They train once or twice a week. It's like, I don't know, they play a lot of mixed lacrosse because, I don't know, they often don't get enough people to train, you know, just men or just women or whatever. So they play a lot of mixed lacrosse over there, do a lot of skills and fitness stuff.
Hey, lacrosse is lacrosse. Doesn't really matter what you're doing. I know that we, you know, even LCC, we play mixed lacrosse, like, in the winters. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, playing is the most important part. Doesn't really matter what rules or sticks or field or box you're playing in. Just the important part is you play.
We started having a bit of trouble in Copenhagen because we got to so many people and we only have like a half a hockey field, you know, two nights a week. And we had so many people who were like, how do we have, you know, youth lacrosse and senior men's and senior women all on like one half a field hockey field. So we ended up training on separate nights for the women because we also, you know, we'd have 30 dudes and a dozen women out. So 40 odd people running around lacrosse.
That's a good problem to have, though. I mean, that you have enough people that you need to make that decision, you know.
And also, like, enough goals. Like, we don't, you know, that's Europe. So you might only have, like, two full-size goals in Copenhagen. So if you want to have multiple groups training at the same time, it's like, okay, well, who's going to use the goal this week?
That is a problem unique to Europe. I've never... And, like, I do need to actually send text messages, you know, during normal time. We have practices and stuff. You know, I actually have to send, like, hey... Can I have the goals for this practice? Like, hey, can I have two goals? And, like, if you ask for two goals, like, at the Smekov practice, you are being greedy. Because we have a monster. The one youth club the girls' club is established, and the boys are new. So if you ask for two goals, like, we use this massive soccer field. Or, I guess, it's not really lined. It's just a field. And there's, like, five groups training at once. And if there's three or four goals, and if you ask to use two goals, like, you are greedy. So I know that problem.
So how are you recruiting all these kids to come out and play?
I hate to say it, but I'm American, and that's kind of cool to kids. So, like, if a Czech person goes up to this kid and says, "Hey, come try lacrosse," they'll kind of just keep walking. And I kind of go up there and poke them in the chest and say, "Hey, you know, come try this." Like, you know, say it in English, and I'll put a stick in their hands, and I'm like, "Hey, nice job, good job." And, you know, like, I'm encouraging and fun, and strangely enough, like, the kids will, you know, stick around. And, you know, we do school visits in a normal world. At the other youth club I'm at, Zbroslav, we had a very short recruiting season. I think we only did like four school visits. But we were able to double the size of our participating players in four school visits. And we went in there and we were just like, "You kids are going to play." We went. So I have this theory called, like, I call it the bicycle initiative because I ride a bike to all my practices. We want to expand to schools and towns that are one bicycle ride away from existing clubs or existing teams. So that, you know, if I am to pick up a young James Robertson who's, you know, 12 years old, he can ride his bike to practice, you know, like, or he could take two bus stops down to practice. You know, we don't want to go far and wide, you know, like, you know, to someplace 3 hours away, because how are we going to support that club? How are we going to really make sure that they're successful? So I'm a firm believer in slowly branching out, you know, around existing clubs. Like, you know, I had Charlie here in the late summer. I wanted him to start a club close to one of the other existing clubs, you know, not LCC. And so I wanted them to help be a feeder for Malachite or Yizhny Mesto. Like, I believe in slowly branching out and building up other clubs. And then, you know, so if like Chernoshite exists to help fill, you know, Zbroslav, eventually Chernoshite is its own club. You know, if Lipense fills Zbroslav, eventually Lipense realizes that through numbers that they don't need to fill Zbroslav's roster, they can have their own team. But they're still one bicycle ride away so that competition can happen regularly.
We do some school visits as well. Like, and obviously, yeah, the American thing, we have a guy called Nikolai Lund. He runs all our junior lacrosse, does a great job coaching.
He's awesome.
He's coached youth lacrosse in the States before. He's a Danish passport holder, so I convinced him to move to Denmark. On that, he wrote to us on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it wants. They're just like, dude, move to Denmark and get a free education. So he moved. He coaches all the youth lacrosse. I run the senior part of our club as a playing coach. But yeah, Nick is responsible for all the junior development we've had and also hanging on to those young guys. We do a lot of, also try and make it fun. I know a lot of clubs, they have trouble hanging on to these kids. We do like senior junior nights where we have, you know, like the under 12 kids will play, we'll have like a three by, so we'll play three by, it's like a 3-on-3 version of lacrosse, not much contact.
It's the best thing ever.
So good. We'll have like one under 12, an under 16 and one senior. That'll be a team of three players. So we'll have as many of these teams as we can. And we have this dog trophy. It's like a broken dog statue that's cable tied to a big lump of wood. And we do this trophy four times a year. The Copenhagen Good Boy Dog Trophy.
I have seen that trophy. Yeah, I mean, so a tennis ball is called a tennis sock meech in Czech. And everyone, like when I do my practices, I'll just pull out a tennis ball and like wave it in the air. And the kids instantly know it's time to play three by. And, you know, that's pretty much like when you have players of differing skill abilities, that's what I'm like, all right, if we just go to a regular scrimmage, this is going to get stupid because that kid can run through all of those kids by himself. Therefore, like, let's make him play with other kids. So, you know, it's three by is the greatest thing. One of the greatest training games ever.
I wish I had have known what three by was when I was 10 years old. I'd never even seen it until I was, yeah, at least 20. I don't know, Nikolai and Ryan Wallace as well. He's another guy. He got us doing some three-by training. He came out one week to Copenhagen, did a couple of trainings with us, which was really good. He also is a big advocate for three-by.
So Ryan came out of, I mean, he's originally from some state, I don't know, some weird Midwest state, but he lived in Denver. I lived in Denver. And at one of the tennis courts, like the public, you know, parks, on Thursday evenings, like, you know, just guys will show up, you know, with a 12-pack of beer and a lacrosse stick. And everyone, it's just a giant pickup. You know, it's just a giant, like, citywide pickup. And you'll get, like, 30, 40 dudes out there. And, like, it's just a social event. And it's just guys playing three-by. You know, everybody just gets mixed up on teams. And you don't need a single friend to go out there and play. And it's just a cool social experiment. It's really fun. You know, there's guys who are really good at it. You know, they make their way to the top court. You guys are really bad at it. They still have a lot of fun playing with guys who are also not so great at it. That's something I would love to install here in the Czech Republic, is like a social atmosphere for lacrosse. It's not just a competitive, you know, elite sport thing. You know, I want to encourage that fun aspect as well.
Yeah, I think that's been the main factor of us hanging on to the, like, we used to have under 16s would come out, and then when they started playing senior lacrosse, a lot of them would just leave. You know, they'd start getting whacked with a long pole, and they'd be like, oh, this is not fun. Especially in winter, some guy with a 6-foot titanium pole cracking you over the arm outside in snow. Like, it's not, that's not much fun. But when you've, these younger guys, when they've played three by with the adults, like, we kind of get to know them, you start becoming friends, then you come up to seniors and you actually look at these guys and go, I can do this. You know, I know who these guys are. We've played three by together, had a soda after playing three by, you know, a few times a year. It's not as scary, that jump to seniors. So I think playing three by in Copenhagen has been really good for us to hang on to a lot of these very few youth players we have and actually transitioning them to senior lacrosse. Some of them are trying out for the national team at the moment.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. All right. So bring us home. What does everyone need to know about Denmark? What are you guys up to? You know, when the world returns, like, what's next for you guys? I know the national team was supposed to come here to Prague to play some exhibition games. What's up with you? What's up with Denmark? Bring us home.
I guess we're trying to get everything ready for the European Championships, whenever that's going to be, to try and qualify for the World Championships. Our own club, the Good Boys, we're trying to get into a lot of schools. I work at a school now. We have a couple other players who are teachers and social workers and work at different schools. So we actually have, you know, a foot in at a few different places, not that far from our club, as you were talking about. So hopefully we can get into a bunch of schools and get some more recruits. Otherwise, just doing our regular thing on the internet and being the fighting pastries.
Being good boys, being fighting pastries. James Robertson, Robbo, thanks for joining me. I appreciate your time. I am looking forward to seeing you, hopefully sooner than later, I will give Ryanair $40 more so I can fly up there and
try that again. Take two.
Yeah. It's coming. So thanks again for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Yep, and to listener, thank you for joining us on this latest episode of the Lost Baggage Podcast. We appreciate you listening, and we'll see you for the next one.